balcony. Was cool.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Janice Karpinski, who is a former Brigadier General who served in the U.S. military for over 25 years and served as the commander of the Military Police Brigade in Iraq, charged with oversight of Abu Ghraib prison. She received a Bronze Star for her service in the Gulf War, and in her book One Woman's Army, the former general refuses to take the fall for those who ordered torture at the infamous prison. Janice Karpinski tells a story and names names. Welcome to Background Briefing, Janice Karpinski.
Glad to be with you, Ian.
And it looks as though the prison, when you were there, you were telling me earlier that you were worried that there'd be a massive breakout during the period that the U.S. was involved in Iraq. Because there were so few MPs and so many prisoners, it looks in this case that there was a faint attack on the Taji prison in the north, and then they took advantage of the fact that there was a massive feast going on in the open yard where they were celebrating the end of at the end of the Ramadan feast, Ishtar, the communal meal, and now. Guess what they're trying to figure out now? There's been an investigation launched into who ordered the open-air Ramadan feast.
Well, yeah, that's the place to start. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's I don't know what their circumstances are at Abu Ghraib, but you have to imagine that the it was in the outside compounds, that they were not all incarcerated in regular jail cells like we would be familiar with here in the United States. So they're outside partaking in the iftar, limited security surrounding them, and there's a very organized attack on the prison facility with more than 500 prisoners escaping or through a series of car bombs and distractors, Taji being one of them, and more than 500 dangerous prisoners, largely Sunni, escape.
Well, what's extraordinary, though, is that al-Qaeda in Iraq had launched a campaign a year ago called Breaking the Walls, which made freeing imprisoned their prisoners a top priority. And there have been a whole series of recent prison breaks in Iraq. There was one in September in Tikrit, and there was also one in January at the Taji prison.
Right. Now, you know, when you put it all together, you see that they're testing the response teams, they're testing the availability of people that are going to put this thing under control. So they choose Taji, a smaller facility. They choose Tikrit, a smaller facility. And this was a perfect opportunity, but apparently, unless it was intentional on the controllers at the prison facility, because imagine now, again, I'm not certain what the population must be at Abu Ghraib at this time. It has to be in the thousands. So 500 escape. That's while they're in the prison facility, you have to feed them, you have to clothe them, you have to take care of them, and you have to treat them appropriately. And that's the very basics. I can't speak to whether they were complying with that or not, but we would hope so. 500 of them or more released out or escapes out on the streets, now they become targets of opportunities. So a perfect opportunity. And what did you say? They're investigating who allowed this iftar to take place in the open.
Right. That's that's apparently the focus. It's a pretty extraordinary to think that nobody actually knows who makes these gives out these orders.
Right. They just let them go out there and have breakfast. Well, probably nobody's taking responsibility for it, because if that's where the focus is, they probably ran as quickly as the escapees did. You have to factor in the very high probability that there was a lot of money that was paid to people to allow this to take place, who allowed the iftar to take place in the open areas outside, making the prison extremely vulnerable. All of those steps, the iftar, you don't just put thousands of prisoners out there for iftar without somebody saying, oh my gosh, what's going on over there? And after the fact, now they're asking the question, who allowed that to happen? It's very peculiar. But nonetheless, the result is you have a breakout from Abu Ghraib that has always been a concern, even under U.S. control. Now, I don't know if there's contractors advising them or not, but Taji was less successful than the Abu Ghraib. They claim that they usurped it, that they prevented any of the escapees from getting out onto the street in Taji. I don't know if that's true or not, but the initial reports were that the 500 or so that escaped from Abu Ghraib actually escaped from Abu Ghraib. They were out on the streets. And the car explosions were very serious that led to the penetration of the camp or the walls.
Well, Janet Karpinski, again, former Brigadier General who was a commander of the Military Police Brigade in Iraq, charged with oversight of Abu Ghraib prison. In the broader context, the United Nations have just issued figures saying that more than 2,500 Iraqis were killed in violent attacks in the 3 months from April to June, and that this makes this the most dangerous time in Iraq since the peak of the anti-U.S. insurgency in 2006-2007. Right. You were there that time, right?
No, I was there earlier than that because the insurgents were starting to grow in the end of 2003 and 2004, and there were so many excuses on the U.S.'s part from Ambassador Bremer and the senior leaders there that we were going to get the insurgents under control. That, of course, happened. But by far, the worst years were 2006 and early 2007.
Absolutely. So, but we're back to that now.
And like I said earlier, too, it's really amazing. Some things never change. We were very concerned because the number of prisoners versus the number of military police that were on site at Abu Ghraib, and we never had a major uprising, but we were always aware of what we should be looking for and potential sites. Now here it is, 2013, and it is exactly the worst fears come to light. So some things never change, which is terribly unfortunate.
Well, of course, in the region now, you've got Iraq, next door to Iraq, you've got Syria in a state of civil war, and that's apparently destabilizing and adding to the sectarian divide in Iraq. So it certainly doesn't feel like the Iraq war is over.
No, I agree with you 100%. Even in 2003, the border with Syria was very easily penetrated. They always believed that people were crossing there. Of course, General Petraeus was the commander up in Mosul, and that was one of his main responsibilities, to seal that border. It was an impossible mission. But now it must be wide open because the Iraqis that are supporters of the opposition in Syria, of course, they're drifting right across that border there and supporting them.
Well, Janice Karpinski, I thank you so much for joining us here today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the call, and we'll keep in touch.
Definitely. Again, I've been speaking with Janice Karpinski, who is the Brigadier General who served as the United States military for over 25 years and served as the commander of the Military Police Brigade in Iraq, charged with the oversight of Abu Ghraib prison. She received a Bronze Star for her service in the Gulf War, and in her book, One Woman's Army, the former general refuses to take the fall for those who ordered torture at the infamous prison. She tells the story and names names. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back with an irreverent look at the royal baby.